Hey, beautiful souls, are you a student on the cusp of your counseling journey, or maybe even a seasoned professional working for somebody else but dreaming of launching your very own private practice? If so, I would love for you to join my incredible coaching membership today. It's tailor-made for therapists just like you, offering step-by-step support 24/7 because you know what? We're in this together. Plus, I've even got courses and CPD trainings included to help fuel your growth. I know, I love it so much and I hope you do too. Discover the path to your dream private practice your way. Dive into the supportive community and get some quick guidance, accountability, and real connections. It's your business and I've got your back. So join me now and make your dreams a reality. Head over to my website today. The link is in the show notes and the membership is called Private Practice 101. I'll see you there. Bye. Hi everyone and welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. This is the first podcast for counselors that just don't align with the traditional approaches to business and that want to use their spiritual gifts, talents and interests to create, you guessed it, a private practice with soul. So look, leave it to me to provide you with everything you need, including strategies that you can use to increase your income, reduce your workload and of course increase inquiries and referrals to your beautiful soul-led private practice. I love it so much. If you haven't done it already, grab your journal, grab your pen, and let's begin. Hey, hey, welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I am so pleased that you're here today because I've got some big news to share with you. Super big news, actually. I've just reminded myself of something, so I'm going to make a note of it now just quickly. There we go. Okay, so hopefully you're there at work or in your study at home and you've got your podcast journal and pen handy because you'll definitely want to take some notes today. If you're not able to do that because you're driving or, you know, otherwise preoccupied, totally fine. When you finish doing whatever you're doing, maybe come back and listen to it or even, you know, click the download button so you can come back to it later because I don't want you to miss out on this useful information. So how did it all come about? Let me share with you. Okay, in one of the groups recently, somebody shared this. It said, can I have a rant please, with three question marks after it. And they go on to say, I had three clients booked in this week, three reminders were sent out, and there were three no-shows. And then in big capital letters with lots of question marks, why? And then the poster has gone on to ask, why do people book a session and then don't respond and don't show? Does that happen to others too? And how do you handle it and resolve this problem? Thank you, rant over. So I thought, this is really important, and this isn't the first time a post like this has gone up, and you know, it got quite a lot of reach, so obviously it's something that a lot of people are interested in and perhaps have had experience with. So I want to share with you my response to that. So just to recap, she wanted to have a rant, she had three clients booked in, she'd done her reminders and none of them showed. Why does it happen, and does it happen to other people too? So I threw a post up on Instagram. You can go and have a look at it if you like. I'm going to read it out. My Instagram is at the Private Practice Coach. So I made like this carousel. It's just text and it says, here's what to do when clients book sessions with you and they don't respond to your messages and they don't show up. This is happening because of the processes that you do not have installed in your private practice, right? There are essential processes that all businesses need to have when it comes to working in our industry and in our profession, okay? Here's the thing. You don't know those processes if you didn't go and learn them, okay? This happens when we are winging it, meaning when you get your qualification, if you go and get the logo and the website and the business name, then just off you trot, you know, and you go and set up your business, this is the kind of situation that you are going to end up in. And it happens because, as I said, you lack the business acumen. You don't understand the processes that are required for the business. And as a result of that, you're losing money, you're getting frustrated, and you're feeling like it's necessary to come in and, like, you know, G up the group and get some support around it. There are other ways to handle it. Number one, go and learn about how to run the business, okay? You had to go and learn how to be a therapist or a healer or a coach or whatever it is that you do. It's the same with business. You can't just run a business without understanding how to run one, okay? It's like saying, oh, marketing sucks and, you know, it doesn't work for me. And then, you know, when I say to people, well, did you go and do a marketing course? I say no. So you're lacking the skills. That's why it's not working. And this is exactly what's happening here. But it's an easy fix. And I am going to give you some things right now that you can do to fix this once and for all, okay? The other thing too is, of course, it's only an Instagram post, all right? So we can only go so far. There's more information about this. If you're in Private Practice 101, you've got access to more in-depth information and templates and all that sort of stuff. But as I said, it's just Instagram, so I'm going to do my best to help you. As I said, it's an easy fix. Okay, first off, understand this. You shouldn't be sending messages to clients asking them to confirm. That's a no-no. When clients book the appointments, you consider it confirmed, okay? They've stood in front of you or they've gone online and they have chosen the time, they've chosen the date, they've paid you. It's confirmed. So wrap your head around the fact that you're not sending them a message to say, are you coming? Please let me know. Type yes for yes and no for no, and then waiting for them to respond. That's the first mindset switch, right? You are not sending out confirmation SMSs. You are sending out reminder SMSs. There's a big difference, right? So this person, when they're there saying, you know, I sent out all these messages, no one responded, it's telling me that this person was sending out confirmation SMSs instead of, or emails, however they were doing it, instead of reminders, okay? Big difference, okay? When you send messages to clients, you're not requiring them to confirm because the appointments are considered confirmed at the time that they are made. That's number one, right? That will help you. Number two, if a client cancels, it's nothing for you to start ranting about. And you certainly don't need to come into groups and say, oh, I'm having a rant, okay? I'll tell you why. Because when that client's cancelled or when that client has failed to attend, FTA, failed to attend, as, you know, used to call it in the clinics where I was working, we call them FTAs or no-shows. The thing is that you retain the fee that they paid when they booked the session. So the fee that they paid, which was originally your session fee, is now just called the cancellation fee. So why are you ranting? No need. You've now got an hour of time on your hands that you've been paid for, and you've been paid the full amount. My recommendation is always that you charge 100% for your cancellations, okay? And that's probably a whole other episode. I don't understand all of this palaver with people saying, oh, you know, if you cancel with this many days, it's going to be 70% of the session fee. And if you cancel with this many days, it's only going to be 35%. And if you cancel with this many days or hours, then it will be, you know, 92%. I don't get all of the mucking around. 100%, you're either in or you're out. 100%. Simplify it, right? And you should absolutely be taking payment at the time that the client books, okay? There may be rare occasions where you don't, but you should absolutely make it your policy that they pay when they book. And you need to, I guess, get some support from maybe someone like me, like a business coach in private practice, to help you if you're bumping into your own money mindset stuff around this, okay? Some people will always have money mindset stuff, and it's their stuff. It's nothing to do with the business or the client, but hey, guess what? It's now affecting the business or the client. I feel from this person's post that they don't get prepayment, and that they're probably now thinking, oh, now I've got to chase up three, because now what they've got is debt. So now they've got to chase up three people with three debts, you know, and they're out of pocket. Hopefully they're charging $150 a session, which is the recommended fee. So what's that? 300 plus 150, 400. They're now out of pocket $450. And how many days, weeks, months are they going to pursue chasing a client? Because guess what? The client's just going to ghost you. The client's just not going to pay without you having, you know, clear policies and processes in place. They can just vanish into thin air and you miss out. So always make sure payment at the time of booking. If they fail to attend or don't show up, you keep that money. It becomes the cancellation fee, right? Which is 100%. Make sense? Okay. Number three. So now you have a client that paid for their session, but they didn't show up. And here you are with an hour of free time plus a payment for it. So you just got $150 and you're not actually doing the client work. So what are you going to do with that time? What will you do with that time? Now, depending on, you know, who you are and I don't know what you're into and all those kinds of things. Some of you will use that time. You'll exhale and you'll say, oh, thank goodness, I've got this hour. I've been paid. Okay, great. I'm just going to catch up on my notes, or I'll catch up on my admin. But others might say, do you know what? It's a really nice day outside. I'm going to nip across the road and go and get us all a coffee and a piece of cake. Or some of you might decide that you want to do some posting on your Facebook, or maybe connect with other people in groups that you're in. Maybe you want to, you know, catch up on an assignment for a course that you're doing. Maybe you might want to go and stretch your legs, go for a walk. I know with me, sometimes it's like having a dance. I just love to woohoo, you know, I've just been paid. They're not showing up. I've got this hour. I love my business. My business works for me. I don't work for my business. Buddy loves it when I have a no-show or a cancellation, because it means we get an extra hour together that we weren't going to have. And so I can teach him a new trick, or we can go for a walk, or we can just go and have like a little lie down for 15 minutes and have a little snuggle together. It's really nice. Or I might do my online shop with Coles and just get that out of the way for the week. So it's totally up to you. But, you know, it's fine that they didn't turn up, because, as I said, you've been paid. To set your practice up so that, you know, you can have this, you only need four things. You need a cancellation policy. You need to have a prepayment policy. I always recommend it's 100%, and because I want you to have 100% coming in when they don't turn up, or, you know, they cancel late. But you could do a deposit if you wanted to. So cancellation policy, your prepayment policy, you need the client's signature on those, or on your informed consent. So you can include, you know, your cancellation policy doesn't have to be a four-page document. It can be two or three sentences. Same with your prepayment policy. It can be two or three sentences. I would just put those on your, you know, informed consent, get them to tick the box or sign next to it, something like that. So you need the client's signature. If you're doing it online, then you have and you're not using practice management software. Like, some people don't use practice management software. They're using things like Calendly or Acuity or stuff like that. You will have or they're just sending PayPal invoices or Stripe invoices. You will have the option to include your terms of service, and they've got to tick that box to agree to the terms of service. And that is legally binding. So you can absolutely do that in substitute of a signature. And then the fourth thing that you need is a way to capture the payment. So your online booking system will do it for you automatically. You just have to spend 5 minutes setting it up, and then it will just do it automatically for you. Okay. And then just one more thing. You also need the right mindset to set it up, of course, but to follow through. And this is where therapists get unstuck because, again, they start projecting their own money bias onto their clients and onto their business. And this is where things start to unravel and unwind. Okay, so got to have the right mindset. And that's why we spend so much time focusing on this in Private Practice 101. Okay, so this was my post. I put it up. I wanted to be really helpful. And somebody wrote back, what did she say? She said, this isn't always attainable though, depending on funding streams. NDIS, Medicare, DVA, ADF, work cover, etc. cannot be charged prior to the session taking place. Pretty much can only enforce this for private paying clients. Now, that's actually incorrect. So I went and made another post to clarify because it's really important that you have the right information, and this person doesn't have the right information, and I wanted to help her because she's obviously in a very important role. You know, she's doing admin work for us. You know, she does admin, her business is all about admin for Allied Health. So if she doesn't understand that, you know, her clients are us, private practices, and she's doing the admin for them. Well, if your admin person isn't charging and isn't billing, guess what? You're missing out on money and you need that money. And I know we don't talk about money because, like, it's not cool and we're therapists and we're meant to be all love and light, but we need to get over ourselves. This is a business. We're not running not for profits. Okay. So let me help you with that. So what I did was I put up a little reel, shared the comment, and I explained everything in a little bit more detail. Here's what I said. I noticed that there was some confusion in the comments from yesterday's post about how cancellation fees work for clients with different funding models. So I thought it might be helpful to break down the process for each. So here we go. The big question is, can you charge a cancellation fee if a client fails to attend or cancels their session with short notice under different funding bodies? Okay. So, first one, NDIS. Can you charge a cancellation fee? Yes, absolutely. If a participant cancels at short notice, which is anything under 7 days, or they don't show up, you can claim 100% of the agreed cost as per the NDIS price guide and your service agreement's cancellation policy. Right? So, you've got an NDIS client. They're plan managed, self-managed, or agency managed. They've signed your consent form. You know, a copy of that consent form with those policies is part of your service agreement. If you've got a service agreement in place, you don't have to have one for self-managed, of course, or plan managed. But if they've signed that, then yes, the NDIS will pay you $150 for a no-show or a cancellation of less than 7 days. So for those of you who are not charging, this is wonderful news because now you can, okay? So good. Now the other one was Medicare clients. You know, people say, well, you know, if somebody's coming to me with a GP mental health care plan, I can't charge them a cancellation fee. That's not correct. You can charge them a cancellation fee. You just can't process a rebate. So let's say Jane Doe wants to book in with me, and I'm a psychologist or a mental health social worker, and wants to book in with me for Saturday at 10 a.m. She goes to my Halaxy online diary. She finds the 10 a.m. appointment. She pays for that appointment. She lets me know she's got a mental health care plan. And then she also ticks the box or signs the consent form that says about the cancellation fees and everything. She agrees to all of that. Her payment details are now in Halaxy. Saturday morning comes. She doesn't turn up. Well, guess what? I keep that money. That money is now called the cancellation fee. And yes, she's on Medicare, but I can still charge that cancellation fee. the cancellation fee is entirely on Jane Doe, right? It's got nothing to do with Medicare. I'm not able as a provider to give her a rebate on a cancellation fee because that would be fraud, right? Or do I say fraud or fraudulent? Whichever is the correct word. It would be fraudulent, I think is the right way. Because the rules with Medicare clearly say that the providers can't process rebates for their clients unless they provided a service. I haven't provided a service because Jane's AWOL. So, yeah. She's got to cough up that $150 all by herself. And guess what? She already has because she's prepaid for the session. So all that's going to happen is I've got an automation set up in my Helixy now where I could go into Helixy. I can go to the drop-down menu on the diary. I can choose fail to attend because she didn't ring up and cancel. She just didn't show up. So I'll click fail to attend. And then automatically it's just going to send her a receipt to say, you know, that we've got the money here as the cancellation and we're going to include, or as no show fee, and we're going to include a link and some encouraging words to check in with her and help her book her next session. So yes, even for a Medicare client, you can charge a cancellation fee and you should. With work cover clients, same thing, right? It's very similar to private billing. WorkCover or WorkSafe does not cover costs for missed appointments, so they're not going to pay you as the provider for cancellations and no-shows, but you can ask the client for it, and you should. And again, this is going to be in your onboarding. So when clients first sign up with you, they're going to come along and, you know, John Doe comes along and he says, "Hi, Brooklyn, I want to make an appointment to see you. I'm on WorkCover." I'm going to say, "Yep, no problem." John's going to say, "WorkCover are funding my sessions." I'm going to say, "No problem, John, all good. I'm going to send you some paperwork. Please have a look over it, read it very carefully. Once I get that back, you know, we can hit the ground running, we'll get going, whatever you say." And, you know, when you have that meeting with John Doe, or you have that discussion with John Doe, you might also draw his attention to the fact that you do have a cancellation policy. And that cancellation policy is going to be, you know, peppered at different touch points throughout the business. So John's well and truly aware of what it is. And then guess what? When John doesn't turn up for his appointment, you're going to process the charge, right? Because you've got his permission to process the charge, and then you're automatically going to send him through your Power Diary or Clinico, whatever you're using, the receipt. Done. So yes, you do get paid for work cover clients when they fail to attend or cancel on short notice, but you don't get paid by work cover. You get paid privately from the client. Okay. The next one is victims of crime. Victims of crime is what it's called in some states. In other states, it's called victim services. So you might need to check and see what the rules are. But in Victoria, yes, you absolutely can. If a client doesn't show up, you're entitled to apply to the tribunal for the cancellation fee for the first missed session, right? So to do that, you have to write a little letter, show that the appointment was booked and confirmed by the client, and show the what you're charging, what the fee is. And then 9 times out of 10, the tribunal will send you a check, or they'll send it to you electronically by EFT to the business bank account, the full amount for that missed session. But you can't do it like ongoing. So if the person continues to fail to attend or continues to cancel on short notice, you can ask the tribunal to compensate you or to pay the cancellation fee. But most of the time, they're just going to tell you, get it from the client. The other thing to be aware is when a client first commences in counselling with you, they have to fill out, and you know this because you've been doing it as well, so I don't want to teach you how to, like, what is it? I was going to say suck lemons. That's not it, is it? Suck eggs? No, that's not what I want to say. Sell ice to the Eskimos. That's not it. I don't want to teach you stuff you already know. Like, I know you already know this, but when they first come, for those of you who don't, as the counsellor, you will have to fill out, you know, a bunch of paperwork, and you download it off the website for victims of crime, VOCAT, And one of those is the counselling application form. And in that counselling application form, right on the very first page, I think it is, it's got boxes. It's got two options. It says something along the lines of, you know, if the client, if the funding for counselling is not approved by the tribunal, then A or B. And you as the provider tick A or B. And A is I will charge the client for the sessions. The client will be responsible for them paying for those sessions that they've had. Or the other one says, I will not charge the client. Always tick the box that says you will charge the client and be very, very clear with your client that this is what's going to happen. So you must say to the client, okay, more than happy to see you under victims of crime with VOCAT, or more than happy to see you under victim services arrangements. However, if the funding is not approved, because the way it works is you've got to do the work first and then write up with these reports, and then the client and their lawyer will go off to tribunal, and then the tribunal will make a decision about whether or not they're going to pay you. So it's like, you know, you're doing it in good faith, really. And it can take a long time, believe you me, like 2 years I was waiting for one lot of payment. But anyway, it's very important that you let the client know that, hey, if anything happens and the funding isn't approved, my policy is that I will send you an invoice for those sessions and you will then be responsible for payment. Do you understand? And they're going to ask you questions. If they've got questions, you're going to clarify if that's needed. They're going to sign. Amazing. So let's say the worst case scenario, for whatever reason, the magistrate says, no, we're not approving the counselling. Now you've got the client's payment information, you go and process the payment, right? Or you talk to the client first, obviously, and say, okay, well, that's unfortunate. This is what it's going to look like. And you will work out with them when those payments are going to come out. So you do it on a case-by-case basis. Some clients will be happy for you to take it out, you know, once a week or once a fortnight until it's all cleared, the debt's cleared. Others will say just take it out now. So it's really up to you. It's pretty rare that tribunal won't fund counselling. What I have found is that sometimes, for whatever reason, clients will move. So they go from Victoria to Queensland or something like that, and now all of a sudden, all the work that you've done, you're not going to get any compensation for. So you will have to, as I said, contact the client, let them know, da da da, and then work out how they're going to pay you. But the answer is, even with a victims of crime client, yes, you can get paid. You bill the tribunal for the first one, and then you bill the client for all subsequent ones. With TAC, TAC says, you know, we're happy to pay for all of the sessions that you have with your clients, but you have to charge clients your cancellation fees if they don't turn up. That's nothing to do with us. So again, you can work with Jane Doe, who's, you know, on TAC. In the onboarding, you're going to tell her, right, so TAC will fund your attended sessions, but they will not pay for you to miss sessions or to cancel sessions. You must pay for those. Do you understand that, Jane? Great, you do. Amazing. Do you have any questions? Nope. You plan on coming to them all? Fantastic. Great. And then you're going to give Jane all the documentation that you need her to sign, so that, you know, when she does cancel or she does fail to attend, boom, you process the payment and it's all good and you're fine. So while some funders will definitely handle the fee directly themselves, others will require that you collect your cancellation fees from clients. Okay, so what can you do? I think first off, just communicate this really clearly. Just be transparent. Let the client know that this is the deal. Make sure that your consent documents clearly state your cancellation policy, and discuss the cancellation policy with your clients and have them sign it so that they acknowledge that they understand it. This is very important because, I don't know, touch wood, let's imagine somebody lodges a complaint because, oh, Brooklyn was a horrible person because, you know, she charged me cancellation fee and blah, blah, blah. You want to make sure that you've got all your documentation there. And then the second one is you really need to make sure that you've got the right systems in place to support you doing all of this. And if you struggle with the money side of things and you feel, you know, you have feelings about, you know, charging clients, you've got feelings about receiving money and you've got feelings about what's fair and not, I would, you know, number one, go and get yourself some coaching. And number two, I would remove yourself from the money with the business. And I would do that either by getting somebody else to manage the money for you, like a bookkeeper, or if you can't afford that, then I would be automating as much of the billing as I possibly could so that you're hands off. Okay. So I hope that this makes sense. But as I said at the beginning, if you're in Private Practice 101, you don't have to worry about any of this. You've got detailed information, you've got detailed forms, you've got your templates, you've got all of that, you're covered, you're fine. This topic has come up as a result of people in our community who didn't go and learn how to run the business. And it's really, really, really such a shame because for many of us, we're women. For many of us, it's a second career or it's a third career. For many of us, we're already experiencing financial disadvantage, especially if you're out of the workforce because you were caring for little ones, or now you're like me and you're caring for an older one, and you know, life and all of that sort of stuff. Women tend to be, compared to men with the data, disadvantaged financially. And so it doesn't make sense that you would continue to run a business from a mindset of disadvantage. Okay. You need to learn how to run the business as a business. Okay. So there is that. That was one thing. So I hope that that was really, 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 really helpful. If you're not in Private Practice 101 and you missed the workshop that happened a couple of weeks ago, don't panic. There is another workshop coming. The course opens twice a year. It will open for enrollment again in October. I will put there's a waitlist registration page. You can go and register to be notified when the next workshop is and when the doors to the course open again. So I'll put that information below for you. You can come along to that. Don't panic. Now, there are a couple of other things I just wanted to touch on too, because it's important that you know what they are. And one of those things is we now have our very own Private Practice Guild of Australia. And it's all very exciting. I have put this together over the last couple of weeks, but it is still developing. So what I can share with you is where this is going, what it is. So the primary aim of the Private Practice Guild is to really raise public interest and awareness of what private practice is. It's to promote private practices and the owners of those private practices. It's to maintain ethical standards in private practice via professional certification. Okay. It's also to provide a network for education and sharing amongst members. Okay. The Private Practice Guild will also be offering events and workshops online, and eventually, you know, not right now, but eventually it's in the plan to do them in person in different states. Okay. In Australia, this is all right. So it's really also an opportunity to really connect and network with like-minded people and practice owners from Australia, all while learning more about private practice and being able to run one in a way that's sustainable and ethical. Okay. The Private Practice Guild of Australia also will be having, like, obviously a professional directory. This is so that people like consumers, clients, third-party referrers, stakeholders can, you know, find you. Oops, my phone just fell over. Can find you and connect with you, make referrals to you. There's also going to be a course directory in there, things like that. So the website's under construction at the moment, but if you have any questions about it, do let me know. So far, there are two courses in the course directory. One of those is the Certificate of Private Practice. When you complete that, as you know, yours becomes a certified private practice, and that gives you a logo that says you're a certified private practice, and you can use that logo on all your marketing, your websites, your socials, all that kind of thing. This is really, really helpful for people who feel like there's some imposter syndrome, for example. It's really helpful for people who perhaps have a diploma and don't feel like, you know, because they don't fit anywhere, that they're wanting somewhere to fit. It can absolutely, you know, meet that need as well. All these kinds of things. And what else did I want to say? I just lost my mind. I just lost my train of thought. The second course is the Marketing Essentials course. So this used to be called Marketing with Soul. It's now called the Marketing Essentials course for private practice. Again, it gives you a certificate in private practice marketing. It will meet all of your CPD requirements for a 12-month period. You don't have to do it as a certificate if you don't want to. You can just come in and do it as a course. The course is broken up into a set of modules. Each module has an assessment. If you want OPD or CPD points, you can get them by completing the assessment for that module. Each module gives you 5 hours of PD. And if you, for those of you who do want to get the certificate, there's an overall assessment at the end. You'll complete that. Plus, of course, you need to complete the work. So show up to, the calls, and or at least watch the replays. If you can't show up to the calls live sometimes, submit work for review, all those kinds of things. So at the moment, there are two courses that are there. They're both approved by the Private Practice Guild of Australia. When you complete those, you get your own logo saying which course you're certified in that you can use for your marketing, right? With the membership, when you become a member, there are a few different things that you need to be aware of. So, for example, there are two types of memberships in terms of tiers. Now, remember, you know how I feel about, you know, ACA and PAC for having their levels. I honestly do not see the sense in it. It makes zero sense to me when we know that all of the research says that education, a level of education has, you know, I was going to say something I shouldn't say. Let's just say very little to do with the quality of the outcome, okay? 9 times out of 10, it's your ability to build that therapeutic relationship with the client that will lead to the client's outcome. It's that therapeutic alliance is foundational, okay? Doesn't matter if you're using, you know, this modality or that modality, or if you've got a PhD or a diploma, doesn't matter. The outcomes are based on the relationship that you've got with the clients. So I don't agree that ACA and PACFA have levels. I think it creates imposter syndrome for women who perhaps don't already feel confident within themselves and already doubt their abilities perhaps, or already wonder if they're good enough or worthy enough or all of the enoughs. I think it keeps them financially disadvantaged. They can never escape student loans. They're going to have to go and get a loan for, you know, level one, and then they're going to have to go and get loans to do the bachelor's, and then it's loans to do the grad dips, and then it's loans to do the master's, and da 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 da. It's wrong. And you have to also remember that they're not public companies. They're not listed on the stock exchange, right? We can't all go and buy shares in ACA and PACFA. These are privately owned companies. Privately owned, someone's making a lot of money. And the other thing too is that when they're saying that they're advocating for all people, you have to remember that, you know, a lot of the time, not all, I'm sure there are examples, I'm just not familiar with any, But it seems to me that they don't consult with all members before they, you know, take action. Like with Medicare, we saw that. There were so many people who were in ACA and PACFA who were against being on Medicare. But for some reason, ACA and PACFA were, you know, push, we're pushing for Medicare. I still don't get that. So not listening and not consulting with all members and definitely not representing the interests of the majority. That's a problem for me. And the other thing too is that when they do go and advocate, they're only advocating for the top tiers. So, you know, the level threes and fours, they're the people who spent the most money. It's like, you know, you got to spend a certain amount of money before you're going to get the reward of being able to see someone who's NDIS funded. And, you know, how long is it going to take you to make that money back? It's just, anyway, they run them as private businesses because that's what they are. And I just disagree with this whole levels business. And I see what it's done to our community, especially in like one of my bigger groups, Counselors Connect Australia. I have removed so many people from our group because they think that they're better than people who are at lower levels. And they are patronizing, they talk down to them, and they're aggressive, and they weren't saying nice things, and they weren't being supportive. And you know, and then we've got the flip side, which is people who are at a level one or level two feel horrible about themselves and don't have the confidence to do anything because they are constantly getting told, you're not good enough, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. So I'm going off on a rant now, my turn to rant. I don't get it. I disagree with it strongly. I think that it's a lot of money, you know, that you pay. It's, I can't remember what, I mean, I did some research on this, what was it, about 6 months ago when all that stuff was happening. And I think from memory, it was like between $400 and $500 to join these groups. But there are other groups for counsellors that are either free to join, you know, free for your first 12 months, or they're like $60. And do you know what I mean? Or $100. And I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't get it. I cannot see a benefit. But when I'm saying I've got levels for the Private Practice Guild, I'm only talking about students and non-students. That's it. I just want to encourage students to participate so that if they are thinking that it's a dream or a goal down the track to have a private practice, they can start to be around an environment of other people who are also thinking about being in private practice or who are in private practice already. You know, everyone's at different stages of the journey, and doesn't it make such a huge difference when you're all sharing the same journey? I know, it's just so important. So yeah, that's it. But anyway, so there'll be two levels of membership, and yeah, of course, all potential members are going to have to read through the code of ethics and practice before they apply, and they're going to obviously adhere to it as part of the application process. So yeah, that's it really. And over time, more courses will be added that are relevant to private practice. Yeah, so this is it. When you join, you fill out a little form. That form's got your details and your information, and you know, you're asked for what you would like to have included in the directory as well. So you've got that. So yeah. So anyway, I just want to let you know that is here now, and it's just getting worked through at the moment. So I will let you know when that's all finished and it's ready to go, and you can come along and join. So yeah, I know, it's so exciting, isn't it? Anywho, and it's not a substitute for ACL PACFA. It's not like that. This is for private practice only. Okay, it's not for counselors. This is for all people in private practice. So it could be dentists, it could be chiros, it could be psychologists, social workers, counselors, complementary and alternative health practitioners who are in private practice, play therapists, music therapists, art therapists. Like, it's private practice specific, not profession specific. So it's not a substitute for your ACA or PACFA or any other, you know, professional membership for your profession, okay? This is private practice specific. So, yeah, I wanted to share that with you because, like, super exciting. But anyway, that's it for today. I hope that this was interesting for you. Oh, no, it's not it. One more thing. I am running a free marketing workshop. So the one that happened for private practice 2 weeks ago was really so much fun. And I'm still getting requests today for, you know, can I please join? And other people have been sending me emails saying, I can't find the videos anymore. If you wanted to see the videos, I'm really sorry, but as I mentioned to you in the workshop, you had access to them for that whole week. And then everything got tidied up at midnight on Monday night. And all the resources and videos got put into the Private Practice 101 member portal. So if you're in that, you've still got access. But if you didn't join, you don't. Anywho, the next workshop is happening in October. Oh, no. The next one's happening in July, and it is for marketing. And I've got a theme for it this time, which is all a lot of fun. So the theme that I came up with for our marketing course is a marketing course for our marketing workshop is just a twist on Mad Men. So I don't know if you've seen that series on Netflix, but it was a lot of fun. Mad Men Mad Men means Madison Avenue. Men, advertising men. So it's from the 1960s, and the series has, you know, a lot of the things that we will probably consider a little bit taboo or, you know, not woke today. Like, they're smoking in the office, they're drinking scotch in the office, there's a lot of sexism, there's a lot of racism, it's all that kind of stuff. But the interesting thing is looking at their processes for how they were marketing back then, their processes for how they were advertising back then. It's a lot of fun, and there are some main characters, and I'm making like this whole storyline around it. And so, yeah, we've got this workshop, and it's called Mad About Marketing, and using the theme of Mad Men. So I'm so excited to let people know, don't panic, there's another workshop coming up. It's not for a couple of months yet, but there's already nearly 100 people that have registered to come along to that. So that's a lot of fun, and I really can't wait. Like, I'm thinking, I wonder if I could possibly do it in June. Like, can I bring it up a little bit? But I think June's just a bad time because everyone's going to be worrying about, you know, tax and getting their taxes done and da-da-da-da-da. So I don't know. I'll have to think about it. Maybe June. But at the moment, it's looking like it's going to be the second week of July. But yeah, so I will put the information in there. So with that workshop, we're going over three things, and we're having a live call every single day. You're going to walk away with stuff that can absolutely be a game changer for your practice. And yeah, if you want to come along, it's also the doors opening time for the Marketing Essentials program. So if you want to come along and enroll in that, you're most welcome. But the workshop is like a sample of what's inside and what you can do and achieve and all those kinds of things. So yeah, I can't wait to share it with you. And yeah, just a lot of fun. Anyway, I think that's about it now. It's Friday, 1 o'clock, and so it's very quiet here because Buddy is at daycare. Little Buddy, he is 12 months old on Mother's Day, so I've got to go and figure out what to get him for a little present, and the daycare want to do something for him as well. So, I don't know. I made my sister, it was her birthday, was it last weekend or the weekend before, and I made her a donut birthday cake. It was really fun. You can go and see all the pictures on Facebook. But yeah, I got some rose gold colored little cardboard plates that were in the shape of flowers, and I got the matching rose gold paper cups, and I used them to like create this pyramid of donuts. And then what I did was I put sparklers on them, like to give it some height, and then I got a box of chocolates, and I sprinkled all the chocolates around the bottom to fill up the white gaps, because I put it all on a great big white platter, because yeah, I had to have something to put all the little smaller plates on. So it's on this big white platter, and then and she wanted baby pink tea towels for her kitchen, so I put the tea towels to cover the bottom of the tray, and then I put clear cellophane over that, and then I put the little cardboard plates down, the donuts, the sparklers, long candles, all of that, wrapped it all up with clear cellophane and a great big bow, and then took it over to her place and we lit it and the kids thought it was amazing. And yeah, so it was so much fun. But I'm going to have to think about what could I do that would be fun for Buddy. So if you have any ideas, please let me know. Because at this stage, I'm really not sure. Like, I want to give him something to take to daycare. I might have to check with them. Like, of course, I will check with them what's okay and what's not. Maybe, I don't know. I will check with the daycare. But yeah, if you have any ideas, let me know. I will put the links to the guild and to the free marketing workshop in the show notes. So if you'd like to come along, please click those and I'll see you there. As I said, at this stage, it looks like it's July, but I might move it to June. I'll just have a think about that. I would love to do it next week. Honestly, I'm so excited about it. Anyway, have a lovely day. I hope this was a super helpful podcast. I hope you're inspired. I hope you're going away with lots to think about and with lots to discuss with friends and colleagues. And if you need anything at all, just reach out. Okay, bye. Thanks for listening. I hope that you loved this episode as much as I loved putting it together for you. To get more resources to help you in your private practice, head over to Instagram. My handle is @theprivatepracticecoach. And also, if you want more inquiries and referrals for your business, let me know. I have a program called Clients on Demand that opens every quarter, and I can absolutely get you some information for that as well. You are doing an amazing job. Thank you for sharing your gifts with the world.